earlier this month, Jabari Brisport, a Brooklyn Democrat, cemented his future in the state Senate for the next 2 years, officially winning his unopposed general election bid to succeed retiring state senator Velmanette Montgomery. Jabari's path to Albany began with his victory in the June Democratic primary when he defeated the establishment-backed candidate. In light of Jabari now being senator-elect, we wanted to revisit our conversation from this summer with him following the primary win. We began our discussion by talking about what got him engaged in politics.
You know, I've been in movements and protests and activism for over a decade now. This specific run was really rooted in my students. I'm a public school teacher, and seeing the way that they didn't have the resources they needed in the classroom or even in their lives outside their classroom made me realize, you know, we're not investing in everyday working people. Being an activist wasn't going to cut it enough for me. I needed to run for office.
How did you become an activist in the first place?
I first got started in the battle for same-sex marriage in New York, which is, funnily enough, was through the state Senate, which I'm going to be entering,
right,
as the first openly gay person of color ever in the New York State Legislature. But I started that from a very personal place of being tired of being looked at and treated as a second-class citizen, and I really felt that I deserve the right to marry the person I love.
What was that experience like, pushing for that vote? I mean, eventually it got through the Senate in 2011, but there was a vote when the Democrats had a narrow majority in the Senate, which failed, which I assume you remember. So what was that like?
It was really upsetting and painful because it was my first time. The 2009 vote was my first time ever, like, really targeting legislators and like whipping votes. And I was like, you know, getting all my friends to vote and call their legislator and speak to them. And my first time getting involved in that capacity, you know, I was just out of college. And when we lost, I really felt like yet again, elected officials and politicians were willing to say that gay people and people in the LGBT community were less than, were second class citizens. And it made me want to fight all the harder to double down and rebound for the 2011 fight.
And that 2011 fight was a real big issue for Governor Andrew Cuomo, who I don't imagine you necessarily agree with on a ton of other issues. So I'm curious, you know, what do you think of him and his legacy with regards to that issue?
You know, I'm happy that he's on the right side of history on same-sex marriage now. And, you know, I look forward to challenging him on the issues that I see that are very important to the LGBTQ community now, things like decriminalization of sex work, repealing the walking while trans ban, and really pushing the envelope on ensuring we have a fair and just society for people in this community.
And you mentioned, you know, you're going to be the first openly gay person of color in the state Senate. What does that distinction mean to you? And do you feel a certain level of pressure or responsibility with it?
I mean, I am able to provide a voice for these issues that very few, really not many other people in the legislature are able to do. I mean, when we talk about decriminalizing sex work, that is an issue that specifically really, really harms women of color and trans women of color. You know, that's my community. I have to stand up and fight for it. And people don't often see the intersection of, for example, queer justice and racial justice. But I mean, this movement is a Black and POC led movement, and that needs to be amplified. And I think having an out legislator of color in state office is only going to amplify it even more.
I imagine you'll also serve as kind of a role model for young people of color who are part of the LGBTQ community and maybe don't see a lot of people like them living openly that lifestyle. Did you have anyone that you could look up to like that when you were growing up?
I did not growing up, and that was, you know, something that I always was hoping for. And I'm excited to be able to do that as a state legislature later. I mean, I really, there was nobody, you know, in New York representing queer people of color like this. I had no one to, you know, say, oh, that politician, they look like me. They have the same sexuality as me, right? They they represent me. So this is definitely historic.
So on the political side of things, you previously ran for the New York City Council under the Green Party label. Is the switch to the Democratic Party a pragmatic recognition of what it takes to get elected in New York, or was it something else?
It was a mixture of things. You know, I did encounter a lot of voters who didn't even want to hear the message of the campaign or what we stood for. You know, just, you know, they wrote us off just because we weren't Democrats. And that was a barrier that was really hard to overcome and really unfortunate because I really, you know, I thought we ran on an incredible platform in 2017. But another part of it was the way the political landscape shifted in the past few years. And, you know, I am a socialist. And after seeing, you know, Democratic socialists like Julia Salazar and Alex Ocasio-Cortez win primaries in the Democratic Party and be incredible voices for, you know, really important causes, I really saw a voice for Democratic socialism in the Democratic Party. And I figured, you know, I could really serve my community by getting elected as a Democrat and advancing this platform.
We're speaking with Jabari Brisport, who recently won the Democratic primary for the 25th Senate District in Brooklyn and will be representing the district in 2021. So you say you identify as a socialist. What does that mean in 2020?
It means that we have all the means to guarantee a fair and just society to every single person, meeting their basic human needs, such as healthcare, housing, education, and a clean environment, and that we should be doing it by democratizing and making public the means of production. You know, we shouldn't have a profit motive in housing or in energy or in, you know, communications or in healthcare. I mean, making them at profit puts them immediately at needs with at odds with people's needs.
And what are some of the policies then you hope to implement as a state lawmaker that would realize some of those goals?
So one thing would be to implement a moratorium on charter school construction. I do see that as privatization of our educational system. But I'm also fighting hard on a campaign for public power, which would place energy production and transmission under public democratic control, as opposed to the dominion of Con Ed, National Grid, and, you know, other providers throughout New York State.
You spent a lot of time, according to some press reports, at the Occupy City Hall protests in New York City, which called for defunding the NYPD. Do you feel like that controversial encampment was a success?
You know, it was a mixed bag. It was a success in bringing community together, helping us advance demands. And honestly, there was the night where the budget vote happened, the way people gathered around in public to watch a budget vote, the way they might gather to watch a sports championship or a concert, was something for the history books. I mean, I'd never seen anything like that before. So that was definitely a leap forward. You know, I don't think we got the result we wanted. And in that sense, it was really, you know, bittersweet to see, the city council not truly to fund the NYPD and put that money into better use. But I was really pleased to see the amount of organization that went into the occupation and, you know, how that's going to affect the movement going forward.
Would you like to see that same sort of attention given to the state budget, which is a $180 billion plus document? Granted, it's, you know, 3 hours north of the city, so maybe it's tougher to get as many people. And, you know, while there are people here, you know, making a lot of noise during that budget process, you know, we never saw anything like an encampment.
Yeah, I mean, I'm open to all tactics. I mean, people should pay very close attention to budgets. They are moral documents. They are a statement of priorities, you know. And just looking back to the defund NYPD movement, you know, choosing not to defund the NYPD meant people were willing to defund education or defund healthcare or defund social services. I mean, it is the statement of priorities and how you're going to use tax dollars. And, you know, I think by a lot of people, a budget drafting process is considered very boring, but I think that I would love to see, you know, I would love to see this something be continually very, very interesting to people. Whether that's an encampment in Albany at the state building, or if it's an encampment at legislators' office buildings, or some other techniques, but that level of engagement in whatever form it happens, I would love to see happen again.
What about protests outside the homes of elected officials? Do you think that's something that is productive?
You know, I was looking into that because, you know, we had seen, you know, I saw a historical basis for, you know, demonstrations going back to, 1970s at the homes of elected officials. I don't think they specifically led to any no votes on the budget in this specific term, but, you know, we are public officials, and, you know, people do have the freedom to assemble mm-hmm. in public, and people have the freedom to speak in public.
But do you think it's always the most productive way to present an idea, especially the way protests can often, you know, even the best intentioned ones can become, you know, maybe charged with language that's used. And, you know, let's say there's a small child in a house or, you know, a spouse, so they might, you know, be afraid or something like that appearance.
You know, I've seen demonstrations where the elected official welcomed the demonstrators with open arms, either brought out water for them. You know, I believe even a demonstration, you know, for Antonio Reynoso, who came out and truthfully just listened to the community. And the fact of the matter is, you know, if someone's coming to your house, it's because they're not being heard in any other way, shape, or form. And that's a good message for legislators to know, too, that, you know, their constituents are not being heard.
What do you think of the job Andrea Stewart Cousins has done in her first 2 years as majority leader? And do you envision supporting her for the role in 2021 when it comes up for a vote?
I'm really happy with the amount of work she's put into Democratic causes such as, the bail reform, the housing bills last year. And I'm really, really happy she wrote that statement in support of taxing the rich at much higher levels. And I'm willing to continue supporting her in, you know, a progressive leftist agenda whenever she's willing to advocate for things such as taxing the wealthy or, you know, having a single payer healthcare program throughout New York State. I've not made any commitments to support anybody for speaker yet. No, I'm just focused on making sure I'm serving my community the best I can right now.
Are you going to have to stop becoming a teacher if you're elected in November? And are you going to miss that if that's the case?
I am. You know, I am. I'm going back to teach in about a month when the school year starts again. But I will have to stop once the legislative session starts. And I will miss my students. Because truthfully, you know, I'm fighting for them. I mean, that's my community. I'm fighting for them. But I know I'll be able to support them in a different but also very important way as their legislator.
Well, we've been speaking with Jabari Brisport. He recently won the Democratic primary for the 25th Senate District in Brooklyn, and he is the likely next representative for the seat in 2021. Jabari, thank you so much for taking the time, and look forward to seeing you in Albany when you take office.
Thanks, Dave. I appreciate it.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by New York State United Teachers, a union of professionals in education, human services, and healthcare.